Well, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Wednesday, June the 4th. In the year of our Lord, 2025, I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's begin this morning, this day, with consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Why Discipleship is Not Preparation for Eternal Life. Our text today is 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Hear now the word of the Lord. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. The Word of the Lord. Now consider this. John continues his march toward a verdict. Yesterday, his closing argument turned toward the big point of the whole letter. He has taken on the false teachers so strongly because they were steering the young church away from the main thing. In the end, this is not a prosecution of the false teachers, but a proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, what's the big point and the main thing? Thanks for asking. It's eternal life. The gospel is all about eternal life. As I wrote in the last yesterday, we've really misunderstood eternal life. In one of Jesus' 9 recorded prayers, the longest one, known as his high priestly prayer, you can see it in John chapter 17, Jesus prays as follows. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's John 17:3. We talk about the gospel as justification, sanctification, salvation from sin, deliverance from death, the abundant life, becoming a new creation. And to be sure, it is all these things. But all these things can be summarized in the two words, eternal life. John wants those who have believed in Jesus to understand the new truth about themselves. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. Note where he goes next. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Note that he's talking about eternal life in the framework of discipleship. In this instance, prayer. Eternal life is not in the category of funeral preparations. and what happens after one dies. Eternal life is the whole tamale. In fact, I'm beginning to think of discipleship in a new way. Discipleship is nothing more or less than the retrofitting of a human being with the gift of eternal life. Eternal life was lost as a consequence of the fall from grace. It is now gained as the gift of God, given to those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. Discipleship is the process of learning to express in reality what has, in fact, become real and true. Discipleship is not preparation for eternal life. It's practicing eternal life. What if this is the organizing principle or the governing dynamic of all of life? Eternal life. We need to know we possess eternal life, and then we need to be trained in how to fully live into eternal life. Because we have largely thought of eternal life as what happens when we die, we've never really gotten around to living into it before our death. This concept of eternal life now helps make sense of all of the New Testament teaching on dying before you die. Here's a representative example from Romans chapter 8. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through His Spirit who lives in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Romans 8:10-13. Engaging with Scripture, praying, fasting, encouraging one another in faith, and receiving the Lord's Supper all become the ways and means of nourishing the eternal life within us. Living generously, serving extravagantly, and loving boldly become the ways and means of nourishing the eternal life among us. Eternal life is not something we are preparing to receive later. It is the right here, right now, extraordinary life of God indwelling and illuminating the lives of ordinary people like you and me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the eternal life, and to know you is to experience eternal life. In thinking this is something I gain only after death, I have missed it in my life. Turn that around in me today. Open the eyes of my heart to see and hear and experience what I have known but not understood. Come, Holy Spirit, and make me truly alive with the life that is life. I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Our journal prompts today: do you know you have eternal life? Are you experiencing eternal life now? How might you take the next step in appropriating this reality? What is keeping you from it? We're going to sing today, as our practice is. We're going to sing a hymn that I suspect you know and remember. It's number 343, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. It's the great hymn of the potter and the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. This is a great hymn. We're going to sing those four verses here in just a minute. I feel like we're definitely pulling out all the stops here as we run down the stretch run of 1 John and just trying to boldly articulate and amplify what he has said and is saying to us from so many years ago. I think you're feeling that. I feel like you're getting that. I sense that there are a lot of big aha moments that have been going off through this whole series. It is, 1 John is a wake-up call. Plain and simple. He's trying to, you know, so often religion is trying to get us to like do this and do that and do the other thing so that God can do what God is going to do. It's like, if you do this, then God will do this. So you need to do more of this. You need to do better at this. I'm like, that is just garbage, guys. You know this, but it's all around us. That's the way of religion. The way of faith says, look what God has done. Look what Jesus is doing. Now, run out on that. You have capacities now that you did not have before because of Jesus, because of the giving of the Holy Spirit. The invitation is to wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead. He is shining. You're not waking up and rising from the dead so he'll shine on you. No, he's already shining on you. You're waking up and rising up so that the reality of your life will actually match the truth of the gospel. It seems subtle. It's not. You know, faith, religion is always saying, God, would you write me the check? Would you write me the check? Would you write me the check? Would you do this? Would you do that? Would you do the other? You know what faith, the way of faith is saying? Cash it. Cash it. The money's in the bank. The deposit's been made. You have the Holy Spirit in you. The Jesus Christ is dwelling in you. You're crucified with Christ. You no longer live, but Christ lives in you. The life you live by faith in the Son of God who has loved you and given himself for you. I feel like I'm giving a shot in the arm today. This is the wake-up call. This is the message of the whole New Testament. John just happens to bring it with like both barrels all at once. So let's sing this hymn, Have Thine Own Way. You ready? Number 343. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Amen. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see. Christ only, always living in me. He's the secret. Well, we've got sowing to do today. I wanted to ask a favor of you. It's for me. It'll be for us too, though. You know, we're getting geared up for the Summer of Encouragement. We're running a whole series starting on next Monday. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. I just titled the whole series in the book right out of the Bible. So to even read the title is to declare the Word of God. We're going to call it the Summer of Encouragement. And this is the perfect series to bring in new sowers into the wake-up call. And I just wonder if you'd be willing to invite your friends through your own, any means you can. I mean, person to person is obviously the gold standard, but we all got these Facebook accounts and Instagram accounts, and everybody's always flipping through, and it just has a way of reinforcing the invitation. Maybe would you consider using your Facebook or your Instagram and just run out there and invite people? Give them a link. I'll put a link in today's email in the PS where you could just put that link in there and people can subscribe. Very simple. And I think this series is the ticket. I don't know about you. I'm needing encouragement. I'm needing it. I'm ready to give it. You're needing it. You're ready to give it. Your friends, your family, they're in need of encouragement. We've got to up our game on this. This is going to be a great season to do so. So I'll just leave it there. Check the PS in today's email and consider that. Thank you. Thank you for that. This is how people find us, is through people like you. That's how they find us. Busy, noisy, distracting internet out there. But my gosh, these kind of words, the Lord has a way of winging them through and into people's lives. It's happened to you before, I know. All right, guys, get your seeds. Those seeds carry encouragement, the encouragement of Jesus Christ, the encouragement of awakening. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.